take the word of God, please, and shoot somebody. I don't know. I'd love you to take the word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. Begin reading in verse number 5. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want to preach this morning on this thought: tell me the story of Jesus. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for the time that we have to gather together, Lord, as a church. Lord, to open thy word, Lord, to read from it, now to look and to hear, Lord, what you placed in my heart to say. Lord, I pray today that the message would be certainly sent by thee and delivered by me. But Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. This morning that we would see Jesus. We would see your love for us, and your mercy that you've extended to us. It would help us to understand that without you, Lord, that heaven will not be ours, but hell will be our destiny. Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, I pray that we be encouraged today to do greater things for thee. For those that are not saved, I pray that this day would be the day they come to know thee as Savior. Lord, help me as I preach. I need you, Lord. Desperately, I need you to empower me. Lord, I can't do this without you. So I'm asking you, Lord, to dwell with us and do that which only you can do. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We're in the time of the year called Christmas. Beautiful time. We celebrate the birth of Christ. Much will be said, much will be heard. Places you go, there's going to be arguments over whether the word Christmas ought to be used. No doubt about that. Be a continuing argument till he comes again. But there's a great story that comes with Christmas, and it's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a time of the year where people have some tenderness to the gospel. I believe it's this time of year. I believe there's a story that we have to tell, and all throughout the Bible I could take and title many passages with the same title, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," because over and over again we see the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to the Old Testament and we can read of the story of Jesus. We can read it in the beginning chapters of the Bible when there was a blood sacrifice there in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible teaches us without the shedding of blood there's no remission. That was just a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could talk about it when Moses and the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea, and that being a type of salvation and the deliverance of God. We could go on and we could look in the Psalms and we could see story after story after story about the Lord Jesus Christ and His birth and His coming into this world and His death on the cross. And we can go into the prophets, the major prophets. We can go to the book of Isaiah and we could read about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go into the minor prophets and we can read even there about Bethlehem where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come into the world. But then we come to Matthew and there is the story. And in Mark and in Luke and in John. We find it in the book of Acts and the book of Romans. We see it over and over again as we go into Galatians, Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. We find it page after page in the Bible, the story of Jesus. And I want you to know this morning, it's the greatest story ever told. Amen. It's not a story like what my parents used to call a story. You know, when I was growing up, they said, "Are you telling me a story?" They didn't mean, "Am I telling you a truth?" They mean, "Am I telling a lie?" No, I'm talking about a truth this morning. The story of Jesus is the greatest story ever told. And dear friend, it is a truth that has endured through the ages. Many have tried to deny it. Many have tried to throw it away. Many have tried to say that it never existed. But it matters not what the world may say. There's a God in heaven that says it's true and it's real. And dear friends, if you've ever met the Lord Jesus Christ personally, you know it's true. We find here in this passage of Scripture that Paul is telling the story of Jesus. He told it over and over again, and I want to tell it over and over again. The Lord Jesus is wonderful, isn't he? Every message ought to be about the Lord. I want to tell you some about the most important person that the world's ever known as we look at this morning. You know, it doesn't matter how educated you are or how uneducated you are. You can know Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you think you know or how much you think you don't know. If you don't know the Lord, you know nothing. But if you know the Lord, you know everything. It's sad today to be someone that is given to the study of life, but not to know the Lord Jesus, who's the giver of life. It's sad to think that there are many in this world that study how the heavens go and how they rotate in astronomy, and not to know Jesus, who's the bride and the morning star. It's sad that people will study the ages of the rocks, but never know the Rock of Ages. I'm telling you, dear friends, it's sad to know the history and the things that have happened in the past and not to know the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being. When we think about it, truly the rich man is poor and the strong man is weak and the educated man is foolish that does not know the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he's telling this wonderful, wonderful story in these verses that we've read. And I want to take this scripture and just hear the story that Paul has given to us. I want you to see, first of all today, the majesty of his person. The majesty of his person. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who is this person called Jesus? Who is this one that said he was in the form of God and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God? He's not just another great man, but he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one and only. Dear friends, some people have made lists of the 10 greatest men in history, and they listed the Lord Jesus as number one. Now that sounds good. There was a saying several years ago, and people wearing pins all the time, that said, Jesus first. And that sounds good. But I want you to know there is no list that ought to have him on it, because he's on the list all by himself. There's nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no comparison with Christ to anyone else that the world has ever known. There's no comparison with Christ to Muhammad, because Muhammad was a sinner. Christ never sinned. There's no comparison to Christ and Joseph Smith, because Smith was a sinner, but Christ never sinned. There's no comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ and the great Apostle Paul, because Paul was a sinner, but Christ was the sinless Son of God. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we must think of the majesty of his person. You can call Peter the great and Paul the great and Alexander the great, but not the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a statesman. He's not just a teacher, but he is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God robed in flesh, come into this world, took upon himself the form of the servant, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You remember the Lord Jesus was one night in a place, and there was a man called Nicodemus that came to him and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And that sounds good too. But he was not a teacher come from God. He was God that came to teach. There's a big difference, isn't there? He was God robed in flesh. He was God in the flesh who Paul said, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I love what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? He is God become man. He is the God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man. He never ceased to be God when he robed himself in flesh, when he became man. You say, well, I can't believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you something now. You may not like what I'm getting ready to say. I don't believe you can trust him as Savior if you don't believe he is who the Bible says he is. You may not understand everything. Look, I don't ever understand everything there is to know about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, three in one. Can I explain all of it? I know that the three make up one God. You say, well, how can you? I just believe it. I live by faith, not by sight. I found out one thing. In the Christian life, everything doesn't make sense. But when you live by faith, you just learn to trust God. We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school hour. You know what faith is? Looking unto Jesus. It's getting your eyes on Him. It's not looking all around. It's just believing Him for who He is and who He says He is. When I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I wasn't there when Jesus came into this world through the womb of a virgin. I wasn't there as a 12-year-old boy when He was marveling the scribes and the Pharisees. I was not there that day at that wedding when He turned the water into wine. I was not there when He healed that sick woman that had that issue of blood for 12 years. I was not there when he took that little 12-year-old girl and took her by the hand and raised her up. I was not there when they nailed Him to that cross. I wasn't there when they laid Him in the tomb. And I wasn't there when He rose up the third day. But I'm telling you, dear friend, by faith I believe everybody. Bit of that happened because He is God. And we look and we see the majesty of His person, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is God. He is the God-man. It's not enough just to tip your hat to Jesus. It's not enough to recognize Jesus as a world religious leader. He is God in flesh. We need to understand the majesty of His person. That's the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. There's no other story like the story of Jesus. And then when we talk about Him, we're talking about not just a man, we're talking about my Savior. We're talking about the majesty of His person. The second thing I want us to see as we think about Christmas, we think about His birth. I want you to see the miracle of His birth. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. The Bible says, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Here's the one that was in glory. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ that in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. Oh, I know I've said it quite a bit lately. The truth is, the Bible says in the beginning God. And I've told you the Bible word there, God is Elohim, which is plural. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. In the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, let us make man in our own image. The Lord Jesus was there. Here's this Lord that was in heaven. Here's this God that was in heaven, and He left glory and He came down to this earth, and He came through this dark Judean night, and He stepped out of the ivory palaces, dear friend, and He came into this world through the portals of a virgin's womb. There's a miracle in that, isn't there? It's a miracle of miracles. The Bible teaches us this was the fulfillment of the prophecy. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, and you can look at this. You can go back to Isaiah 7:14, but Matthew chapter number 1, the Bible says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. People stumble and stagger about the virgin birth. But I want to tell you, it's not hard for me to believe about the virgin birth. It's not hard to believe the virgin birth if we believe in creation. Because God made the first man without a father or a mother. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, He had a heavenly father but no heavenly mother. He had an earthly mother but no earthly father. The Lord Jesus Christ. He never did sin while He was here in this world. You can know a lot of great people, but if you don't know the Lord, you've missed the very one that you must know in order to have eternal life. When I think about the miracle of His birth, I realize that the virgin birth is not only believable, but it's necessary. You must believe that Christ is born of a virgin. For if He is born any other way, He would cease to be the Son of God. He could not be God robed in flesh. In order to be our substitute, Jesus Christ had to be man. Because He had to take our place. But in order to be our Redeemer, He had to be God. Because He had to be perfect. He had to be sinless. When we read the Bible, we find that he didn't inherit the sin nature of Adam because the bloodline comes through the father. So it was the royal red blood of his father that was flowing through his veins. Who was his father? God. God was his father. The miracle of his birth. We're going through a season. You know, I read a thing the other day, and it was humorous. And it was a story. It happened several years ago. Apparently there was some ladies out window shopping. And as they were looking in the windows, back I guess when you could do stuff like this, it had things like, you know, remember that Christ is the reason for Christmas, things like that. And then it had the name of a church down there. And they said, I want you to look at that. It said, churches are trying to get in on Christmas now. And that's just about the attitude of the world. People don't even realize that Christmas is about Christ. But you know what it's about? It's about a virgin born Son of God. It was about God robing himself in flesh. There was a miracle in his birth. Here was a woman that had never known a man. Yet the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And she conceived and bore a son. And the Bible says, the angel said to her, to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. We see the majesty of his person. We see the miracle of his birth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Paul, tell me the story of Jesus. He moves from the majesty of his person to the miracle of his birth to the manner of his life. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8 of Philippians chapter number 2. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When I think about this is an amazing story. There's no other story like this story. Can you imagine the one that flung out the stars, the one that scooped up the earth and filled it with water? Can you imagine the one that hung the sun, the moon, and the stars? Can you imagine the one that heaped up the mountains? Him having to be humble. Wow. The manner of his life was that he was God, yet he humbled himself. What a Savior. He humbled himself, the Bible says. And he became obedient. The perfect Son of God had to obey. What a strange life we see that Christ lived here in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, hungered 40 days in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the water of life, cried on the cross, I thirst. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had the power to still the raging sea, but he was so gentle that the little children sat on his lap. That was the manner of his life. He was God. He was mighty God. He was powerful God. He was God that could speak and things could happen. But he humbled himself. And he became obedient. The manner of his life is wonderful to look at. He was perfect and sinless. Yet it's sinners that loved him and received him. Made himself of no reputation. Think about that. Made himself of no reputation. You know, the world leaders today wants to be known, don't they? Look at me. Look at who I am. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to become no one. I'm going to become low. I'm going to come into this world. See, the Jews were looking for a king that would come in all the pomp and all the glory. But instead, God sent his son through the womb of a virgin, born in a stable. And by the way, when you think about a stable, in the Bible, that's not some nice red barn. You know? It's not like these stables you see, these horse stables that you see today. It's got air conditioning in there, you know, concrete floors. A stable, if you go and find out what it's talking about, it was a cave in the side of the hill where animals were kept and all the animal waste was there. It was a place that was dirty, it was filthy. And that's where Christ was born. Think about it. He left the portals of glory. He left the majesty and the wonder and the beauty of heaven, and he came into this world into a dirty, filthy place. That was the manner of his life. He humbled himself. You know what he did? He gave his life so that you could have life. He knew there was only one chance for man, for woman, for boys, and for girls to go to heaven. And that was a perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice. And Jesus said, the Bible teaches us, before the world ever began, Jesus said, I'll go. What a Savior. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Look at the majesty of His person. Look at the miracle of His birth. Look at the manner of His life. He wrote no books, but untold thousands of books have been written about Him. He led no armies, yet He's considered the captain of our salvation. I want you to think about who this Jesus is. No other man has ever touched so many lives as Jesus. So many lives have been changed, moved, taken out of darkness, placed into light, taken out of hell and promised heaven, taken out of sin and becoming a saint through Jesus. We see the majesty of His person, the miracle of His birth, the manner of His life, but I want you to see, finally this morning, the might of His resurrection. The Bible teaches us in verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We believe that what the Bible teaches us, the manner of His life was that He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But He didn't stay dead. I think I want to preach that sermon one day. He didn't stay dead. I just like how it sounds. Maybe I'll write a song. He didn't stay dead. He is alive. And we see the might of His resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ did not stay in the tomb. Death has sat upon the throne for 3 days thinking that it had won the victory. But I want to tell you, on the first day of the week, the majesty that was His burst forth and He arose from the grave. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. When I think about the might of His resurrection, I realize that my hope is in the risen Savior. My hope is in the One that suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, was buried in a borrowed tomb, but on the third day He arose and He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. If Christ would have stayed dead, there would be no hope. But He didn't stay dead. He arose and He lives. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious. It's the sweetest that ever was heard. We could talk about tell of the angels. There's a wonderful story. We're in the time of year where some people's going to listen to it. Now, we know the story. We need to be telling others the story of Jesus. Do you know Him as your Savior? Look, you can know who He is but not know Him. You can believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, but have you ever by faith trusted what He did on the cross of Calvary? Are you placing your hope in your church membership, in your baptism, in some kind of a commitment, or are you placing your hope in the person of Christ? Christ in you is the hope of glory. The only way that glory at heaven is going to be yours is through Christ. Tell me that story. Tell others the story. Paul tells us the story time and time and time again. Maybe I'll just do this. Tell me the story of Jesus, part one. Maybe next week it'll be Part two, I don't know. It's not part one today, it's just tell me the story of Jesus. But we have a story to tell, don't we? Paul never tired of telling the story of Jesus. And he never tired of telling the story of his conversion. He never tired of telling people that his hope was in Christ. And Paul had everything else he could have bragged about. He said, you want to know the truth? I had all the education you can imagine. I was an Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day. He was being raised to be the high priest. Look, he was being raised to be the leader of the Jews. But there was a day when he met Christ, and he found out that it was in Christ that his life was changed. And you know what he did? He spent the rest of his life telling the story. And what a story of Jesus. You want to know why we're still here? You say, well, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Well, then why aren't you in heaven? Because you have a story to tell. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't save you just to sit on your hands and do nothing. He didn't save you just to go to work and fulfill your job day after day. But he saved you to tell the story of Jesus. And he left you here to tell a story of Jesus. We have a story to tell. Does your neighbor know who Jesus is? Does your son, your daughter know who Jesus is? Does your friend, your best friend know who Jesus is? Have you ever told them the story of Jesus? We have a story to tell. And it's a story that never grows old. I love Christmas. It just seems like people listen a little bit more about Jesus during Christmas. All the battles that's gone on. Well, we can't be Christmas trees. It's got to be holiday trees. I wouldn't buy a tree from a place that called it a holiday tree. Some people, I don't even believe in trees. Well, that's your prerogative. I like ours. You know? See, we don't worship our tree. We just have a good time gathering around it. Getting my gifts. Oh, I get to give gifts too. That's all right. But I'm just kidding. You want to know why we enjoy it? I tell you, it's not about the gifts. It's about Jesus. There's a story. It's a wonderful story. Paul tells it time and again. Do you know the story? Have you trusted Christ? Have you put your faith in this story? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be your home? Look, you can fool everybody in the world, but you can't fool God. You remember the saying, you can fool everybody, but you can't fool who? Mom. You can still fool Mom, but you can't fool God. And what does the Bible say? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, listen to this, every knee shall bow. Every knee. You may think you're fooling God, but one of these days you're going to bow before Him. You're going to confess to the glory of God the Father that He is who the Bible says He is. But it could be too late then. You're either going to confess Him as your Savior, or you're going to confess Him as a sinner doomed to hell, but say He truly was the Savior. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee. Confess Him now or confess Him later. But I promise you will confess that He is who the Bible says He is. You know that, what was her name? Madeline O'Hare? Madame Murray O'Hare. She denied Him all her life. She's going to confess. He was. He is. Adolf Hitler, he'll confess. He's Lord. Saddam Hussein, he's going to confess. He's Lord. You may play religion, and you may play church, and you may act like you're something you're not, but I want you to know one of these days the truth's going to come out, and you'll confess. He's Lord. Just be sure you know it now. And you trust Him now. Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for the time You've given to us. And we thank You for Your Word. There's no doubt, Lord, this is the greatest story.